This is the evening service of Lighthouse Baptist Church, Hope Mills, North Carolina. We're glad to be with you tonight. We're going to begin with a quick hymn everybody knows, and so we trust you can enjoy that here at home as we sing together, "He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought." Sing, "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, all words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's flowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp my hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis Thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, and when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. All right, Pastor's coming. Glad you joined us for the service tonight, and I hope the signal stays strong.
All right, thank you so much, Pastor Ken. First and foremost tonight is start the service off in prayer. And so if you have your prayer sheet from this past week, I believe I emailed it out on Wednesday to remind everybody about the Wednesday live streaming. But let me go over a few things with you, and then we'll have a time of prayer tonight. But thank you once again for being with us on our live stream tonight. And once again, I want to thank Mike Autry and Gerald Foster, Pastor Ken, for setting all this up, and for Diana and for Bethany coming in and helping us in worship this morning, and also in leading our worship tonight. I want to give you just a couple words of encouragement. As I said this morning, that there is a lot of misinformation out there being posted on social media, being posted in memes and that sort of thing. So be very, very careful about what is being posted, about what is being said. Use discretion and just be wise about what you believe and what you trust. First and foremost, we just have to trust the Lord, have to trust His sovereignty. He is sovereign. None of this has surprised Him at all. He controls every molecule because He created every molecule. So this disease and this virus has not surprised Him at all. In fact, when all is said and done, it is all going to be for His honor and for His glory. And this may be one possible way that He is getting families back together to talk, to eat together once again, for families to unite and for people to realize that everything comes from Him and to people to unite back together. So let me encourage you as a family, as a church family, use this time to encourage one another, to check on one another, to see if there are some of our older people, if there's any needs that they have, to reach out to them and make sure that all of their needs are being met. So with that being said, let me go over a few things with our prayer sheet that maybe you did not listen in on Wednesday. So let me go over just a few things that we need to mention. And I did mention on Wednesday, but those of you that did not hear this, the little girl that we've been praying for so long with cancer, Georgia Mae Webb, had brain surgery. Brain cancer. She passed away this past week, and her funeral, I believe, was Friday. But with that being said, I did speak to a funeral director on Friday, and one of the funeral homes here in town. I ran into him, and I asked him how were they coping with things, and he said that they have received guidance from the state of North Carolina that they cannot have a funeral where, other than immediate family and no more than 10 can attend the funeral. And when they post the obituary in the newspaper, they cannot post times of the funeral or visitation, so that no one will come. So we need to be mindful of that. So when a family loses a family member, they can't invite family, they can't invite friends, and I'm sure that most of y'all have been to a funeral, been to visitations where there could be, a few hundred people that shows up. And so we can't have that right now. So that'd be a tough time for a family that loses a family member, not to be able to grieve with their friends and not be able to grieve with extended family. So that is an issue going on right now as well. But anyway, let's pray for that family. 5-year-old daughter, granddaughter passed away. So let's continue to pray for that family as they go through this, very difficult, grieving process. We also have Vivian Barefoot, had been going through, lung cancer radiation, but has gone through all of that. But she will be having a double bypass. I'm not really sure about the timing of that now because of everything that's going on. So that will be, I'm sure, probably postponed. Do you know anything, Mike?
No answer yet.
Okay, so no answers yet on that. I do know that one of our members was supposed to have had sinus surgery tomorrow, but that has been put off indefinitely because all elective surgeries have been postponed indefinitely. So let's remember to pray for them. A lot of people in our church are still suffering from allergy issues and colds and things. So let's continue to pray for them. And then we also, as I mentioned this morning, we do have a family in our church, a young family. They're in their 20s, but had traveled to New York to visit with family and had contracted the virus. So they're on 14-day quarantine. They did test, or the wife tested positive. Not sure about the husband yet, but we're still waiting to hear word on him. But anyway, she tested positive because his mother had tested positive, and she is very sick with the virus. So let's continue to pray for them. And then we have those every week that are our general needs. Gerald Foster, who is here tonight, but his work requires him to be on the road quite a bit. And also, let's continue to pray for our teachers that are having to teach online, distance learning, our homeschool parents, students that are having to learn online, the administrators that are having to get all of this going, college students are having to leave school, come home, but then are having to take their college or their college courses online. So let's remember to pray for them. And then, as always, as I encourage you to do, let's continue to pray for our government officials, especially those that are on the COVID-19 task force. Let's continue to pray for them. But let's really pray for all of our government leaders, local leaders. Let's continue to pray for them. And then I was told today that we need to really remember those families that are stationed in Italy, stationed in the UK, stationed in Japan, maybe the Philippines that are stationed there. Let's really remember them in our prayers, because those are some high-risk areas. So let's really pray for them. And then for our missionaries, we have Pastor Ken, who's of Wells of Living Water, the Cruz family in D.C., Justin and Rachel Rose in London, James and Lauren Peavy in the Dominican, Rick and Nancy Montez with the Mercy Ships Project, Ed Bordell in Costa Rica, and then Attorney David Gibbs III, who is our legal representation with the National Center for Life and Liberty. So let's go ahead and pray together, and then we'll get into our study tonight. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us this opportunity, Lord, of where we can pray together, not only just a few of us that are here tonight, but how we can all join together by means of this technology that you have made available through us, through the wisdom and knowledge of people. And how we can gather together and how we can pray together. And Father God, I pray that as we lift up all of these names before you, I ask and I pray that you would meet each and every need and answer these prayers and answer these requests in accordance to thy will. And we know that all things are done by you for your honor and for your glory. And Father God, we pray for our church needs. Father, we, as always, we pray for three very specific areas of growth. We pray for spiritual, numerical, and financial growth. We pray, Lord, that you would bring people to us, either through listening to our broadcast or off the street to visit with us, that are not born again. And Father, we pray for their soul, and we pray that you would just convict them of the need to repent and believe. And Father, we also pray, Lord, that all of us will grow in our sanctification. And also, Lord, I pray that you would increase our church in baptisms and that we will see double the amount in 2020. Help us, Lord, as a church to stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the gospel, for the faith of the gospel. Father, we pray for our leadership. We pray for our ministries of Awana, our Sunday school teachers, Vacation Bible School coming up in June, our blanket ministries, door-to-door canvassing. And Father, we pray, continue to pray, that you would bring visitors each and every week to our church. They would have a desire, Lord, to become active members of this local church of a body of believers. Father, we pray for all of our members, pray for our attenders. We pray for the lost, that you would draw them unto yourself to believe in the gospel. Father, we pray for all of these with health concerns, these with cancer, as they are continuing to undergo recovery from surgeries and upcoming surgeries, going through treatments. We pray, Father, for their spiritual health, and we also pray for their physical health. We also pray, Father, for their family and for financial obligations, and that they are incurring because of all these health issues that they are undergoing. Father, we pray for those that that have cancer. We pray for Jeff Hill. We pray, Father, that you would just continue, Lord, to give wisdom and guidance to the doctors as he and Audrey go through this battle together, and help us as a body of believers of this church, Lord, to continue to encourage them to stay strong and stay focused on you and that you, Lord, will bring them through this. Father, we pray for our government leaders. Father, we pray for our president. We pray for Vice President Pence as he leads the COVID-19 task force. We pray for every doctor. We pray for every government worker that is on that task force. We pray, Father, that you would give them the wisdom and the guidance that they need in order to help us to get through this. And also, Lord, we pray for every government official, but for, Father, we pray in particular, Father, for our small business administrator. We also pray for our senators, our congressmen, our Supreme Court, those in our North Carolina Senate, our North Carolina House, County of Cumberland, the City of Fayetteville, our Hope Mills commissioners. And in particular, Lord, we pray for our law enforcement, our fire, our rescue, and our EMS personnel. Father, we also pray for our military, especially those that deploy. We pray for your spiritual and physical protection over them, Lord, and we pray for our missionaries. We pray, Father, that you continue to use them mightily in the field that they are in, and continue, Father, to protect them spiritually, protect them physically, protect them mentally, protect them emotionally, and protect them financially. And Father God, as we go tonight in tonight's study, I pray that you would use tonight's study, Lord, to be an encouragement to all of us, to be people of prayer, and Lord, to be intercessors in prayer. And I pray that you would use me now as I teach this lesson, and I pray for those that will hear it and receive it, that it would be an encouragement to them of how they need to be a person and how we must be a people of prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. All right, take your Bibles, if you will, and let's go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. We started a number of months ago. We started a study through the book of Genesis, and we are titling this study. We're calling it Genesis, the Book of Beginnings. The Book of Beginnings. And we're going chapter by chapter through it. So we are now in chapter 18. So if you have not been with us and listening to this, you can go back on our sermon audio page and you can listen to every lesson that we have been going through in relation to the book of Genesis. So we're about halfway through the life of Abraham. Well, about three-fourths through the life of Abraham. We began this lesson about three Sunday nights ago. And so we'll review for just a moment, and then we'll get in to the rest of the study. So let me give you a couple of points in regard to an introduction tonight. And the first thing is that God called Abraham to be a very special person. Now, what did that mean? Well, it meant two things. Number one, that he is the father of God's people. He is the father of God's people. Then secondly, God called him to be a man of prayer. And we usually don't think of Abraham being called to be that. But as we will see in this study tonight, we will see that God did indeed call Abraham. His name changed from Abram to Abraham. He is now a new person in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So he is now called to be a man of prayer. So the biblical name of a person that is a person of prayer is called an intercessor. Now, what is meant by the word intercessor? How does God's word describe a person of being a person of intercessory prayer? It simply means this. It means that he is a go-between. It is a legal term. It is a legal term, and the actual word of intercessor in the Spanish language is the word arbiter, which in our language, an arbiter is an umpire. It is a person that calls balls and strikes, safe or outs, fair foul. So it's a go-between. It is an intercessor. It is a person that intercedes on behalf of another. So when you are praying, you are being a priest. You are being an intercessor. You are being a go-between between you and the Lord. You are also a worker. You are also a communicator. And you are also a wrestler. So you are going between that person and God. You are working in prayer between, as you are praying as an intercessor. You are communicating on behalf of that person, and you are wrestling for the need, and you are wrestling with yourself in that moment of prayer. So go with me, if you will, to James chapter 5. So we'll be using our Bibles quite a bit tonight. So go with me, if you will, to the New Testament, and let's look at James. So James chapter 5. And if you will, maybe right on the margin there, I want to give you some other verses that you can look at, and that is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, and then James chapter 5, and let's look at verses 13 through 18. Where James writes this, he says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another." There we have that intercessory prayer of pray for one another that you may be healed. I think that's not only talking about spiritual healing, but I think it's talking more so about spiritual healing. "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." So here's a key point that I want you to remember as we end this introductory part, and that is a believer that intercedes on behalf of others is a believer that struggles and wrestles for people and their needs. So what are some lessons that we can learn from Abraham on intercessory prayer? So go with me, if you will, back to Genesis chapter 18, and let's look at verse 16. Look at verse 16. "Then the men set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set them on their way." So the first point that we can get from this is simply this. And a person of intercessory prayer is a person that longs to walk with the Lord. I want you to note the expression that he went with them. So let me ask you this question. Do you have a desire to walk with the Lord? See, to walk with the Lord means that you are walking along with the Lord, step by step, and you long for the presence of the Lord in your life. Listen to what Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 says. It says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all their heart and with all thy soul." And then also Psalms 105, verse 4 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength, and seek his face forevermore." So, a person of intercessory prayer is a person that longs to walk with the Lord. So, a key point from this, a true intercessor is a person that walks closely with the Lord. So, ask yourself this, how is your relationship with the Lord? Are you walking with the Lord? The second point is this, and let's look at verses 17 through 19. Verse 17 through 19. Let's look at these verses. "The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall bless in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised to do. So second point is this. A person of intercessory prayer is a person that thinks of God's great call and purpose on their life. So when God calls you to salvation and you answer that gospel call of repentance from sin and turn towards God, God is calling you not only to salvation, but He's also calling you to service. So He has given you a great call and also a great purpose of life. So here we see in these verses, I want you to look especially at verse 19. For I have, circle this, chosen him. He has chosen him. Think of this for a moment. When you are called to salvation, God, the creator of this universe, has chosen you. But then it also says this, I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and judgment, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. So here is God's call, but also his purpose in his life. So I want to give you 3 points here to think about. Number one, Abraham was led to think of his call, to think of his call and his purpose on his life. He was made to think about it. So Abraham is hearing the Lord tell those other two angels what his call and purpose in his life. So now Abraham is beginning to think about that. So let me ask you this question. Do you ever take the time to think about what God has called you to do and the purpose that He has for you on your life? The second thing is this. Abraham was led to think of his duty. His duty. And what is his duty? We have already looked at it, but let's look at it again. His duty is to teach the ways of the Lord. To teach what is right. To teach what is just. And then, thirdly, Abraham was led to think of God's faithfulness and the reward for being faithful. God made great promises to Abraham. He was going to bring about these promises. But Abraham needed a reminder that he was to be faithful. He was to teach the ways of the Lord. Then and only then will the Lord reward him. So we need to focus on those three things and allow those things to stir us to become intercessors for the Lord. So what is that? Number one, think about, remind yourself constantly about God's great call and purpose. So we are just not saved to be saved. We are saved for a purpose, and we are saved for a responsibility. It is our responsibility as believers in the finished work of Christ to live out the gospel and that great call and purpose. We must also think about our duty to teach the ways of the Lord. And then thirdly, there is the need for us to think about being faithful. And that there is promised to us a great reward as we are faithful. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And then 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So the first point that I brought tonight is a person of intercessory prayer is a person that longs to walk with the Lord. Then we just discussed a person of intercessory prayer is a person that thinks of God's great call and purpose on their life. Thirdly, let's look at verses 20 and 21. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave or very severe, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know. So the third thing is this. A person of intercessory prayer is a person that senses the pain in God's heart over the wickedness of sin. You sense the wickedness of how sin is a pain of God's heart and how the wickedness of man grieves the heart of God. God is grieved over sin. It grieves Him when we sin. It grieves Him when man sins. So here we see that God's heart is grieved over sin because of three things. Because of the righteous outcry against sin is great. And then thirdly, because of the impending judgment that is going to come upon these people. I want to remind you that when we sin, that when we sin as an individual, that when we sin as a people, corporately and individually, it grieves the heart of God. God wants to teach His people that sin leads to judgment. Judgment will be executed and God will judge the world. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So a person of intercessory prayer is a person that senses the pain in God's heart over the wickedness of sin. Number four, let's look at verses 22 through 26. So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be it that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." So the fourth thing that I want to remember is this. A person of intercessory prayer stands boldly before the Lord's presence. So I want you to notice something here. That as God has told Abraham about how sin has grieved his heart and that judgment will come on Sodom because of their wickedness, Abraham now stands boldly before the Lord. Because it says there in verse 22, "But Abraham still stood before the Lord." And then verse 23, "Then Abraham drew near and said, 'Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked?'" So how does a person become an intercessor, a prayer warrior? We talk about Christians need to be prayer warriors. Well, one way, one major way we can do that is we must, as a people, stand boldly before the Lord in prayer. So let me give you four things here. First thing is this. Abraham stood still before the Lord. So as you, as a believing person, believing that prayer works, believing that God hears and that God answers prayer, do you stand still before the Lord? The second thing is this. Abraham was concerned, deeply concerned, about the righteous that lived within the cities. Now, who was that? We have to remember that his nephew Lot and his family lived in Sodom. Abraham knew that. So he was pleading on behalf of Lot and Lot's family that they be delivered from the judgment of God. He was deeply concerned about those that lived in Sodom. Abraham is now feeling the pain of God's heart over sin and judgment, for a part of his own family had the chance of being condemned. Thirdly, Abraham appealed to the justice of God. See, Abraham was appealing to and asking God to spare the righteous and the city. He was not appealing for the mercy of God, but he was appealing for the justice of God. Because I want you to note this phrase, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Because God cannot, because of his promises, destroy the righteous along with the unrighteous, because God is just. And then number four, God must answer and grant the prayer of Abraham, because God grants eternal salvation to the righteous. So Abraham intercedes. He struggles. He wrestles in prayer. So God had to hear and answer Abraham's prayer. Why? Because God is just. Because God is righteous. God has promised to save eternally all of those who believe in Him and live righteous lives. He can never destroy the righteous along with the unrighteous and wicked. This was the appeal of Abraham. It was the right appeal for Abraham to make. So here's a thought that I want to leave you here. How can we become a prayer warrior? We stand boldly before the Lord in prayer. We appeal for His justice. We appeal for God's sovereignty to do the right thing and to be just. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." Ephesians 3:12, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him in Christ." Hebrews 10:19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." And then lastly, in verses 27 through 33, we see this. Let's continue reading. "Abraham answered and said, 'Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? So we've gone from 50 to how many? 45. And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So a person of intercessory prayer perseveres in prayer. Perseveres. See, we see Abraham, he just doesn't stop at verse 26. He continues. He continues in perseverance. He starts at 50. I believe then the Lord answered him. There was some pause. Then he goes to 45. There's a pause. He goes to 30. There's a pause. It goes to 20. There's a pause. Then finally, it goes to 10. And that's when it stops. So the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. He continues to persevere in prayer. See, God will answer your prayer. He will answer it. We continue in prayer. We pray on and on. We do not give up. We continue to beseech God. Abraham asked God to spare the city. God answered his prayer. He continues to persevere. He continues to pray. In verse 30, we see that Abraham perseveres meekly. He just simply pleaded for God not to be angry, but continue hearing him. And then we see in verse 31 that Abraham perseveres boldly. He says, if 20 righteous persons are found. And at the end, he pleads one more time. Abraham told God that he would make this one last request. Will you spare the city for 10 righteous souls? God answered the prayer of this great prayer warrior. He answered for the sixth time. This communion with God, this intercession was now over. The Lord goes his way, Abraham goes his way. Abraham had persevered in prayer until the end. He had done all he could, and God had answered each time. Let me read these verses for you, and then we'll pray and we'll end this tonight. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications with all saints. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And as we read earlier, let me read these verses once again from James chapter 5, 13 and 14. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So let me ask you these things once again as we end this tonight. Do you seek to walk with the Lord? Do you realize and do you think about God's great call and purpose on your life? Do you sense the pain that sin causes in the heart of God and the wickedness of sin, how it grieves the Lord? And as a believer, it grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit. A person of intercessory prayer stands boldly before the Lord and His presence. And then a person of intercessory prayer is a person that perseveres in prayer. So let me encourage you to persevere in prayer. Pray without ceasing. With that being said, let's pray together, maybe. Our Father God in heaven, as we have looked tonight at the life of Abraham and learned from his life about how we, Lord, need to be a people and a person of prayer. Help us, Lord, to have a longing to walk with you. Help us, Lord, to realize your great call and your purpose on our life. Help us to sense and to know what sin does to your heart and how it grieves the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to stand boldly before your presence. Help us to appeal to your justice and how you, Lord, will grant eternal salvation to the righteous, but also, Lord, to the unrighteous is eternal damnation. But then also, Lord, help us as a believing people to persevere, to not quit, that even when we want to stop, help us, Lord, to persevere. Dismiss us for thy blessing, and I pray once again that you will encourage those that are in isolation, that those that have tested positive for this virus, those that are fearful, those that are worried. I pray that you would give them grace and strength. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to this night. And we will be back Wednesday night for our regular prayer time. And we will be back on broadcast once again for our Wednesday night Bible studies. We'll continue looking at the Gospel of John and the deity of Christ. And then unless something changes and we're given the thumbs up by the government to resume back to our normal schedules, we'll be right back here Sunday morning, 10 o'clock for Sunday school, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock for worship service, Sunday night, everything live streamed. And we hope that you can join us once again on either Facebook Live or through our sermon audio, video or audio. God bless you and have a great week. God bless.